All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom. Good morning. Part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our podcasts, local folks doing local podcasts, and having a damn good time doing it. So, Tuesday, January 26, 2021. Weather, overcast and rainy. Outlook, fantastic. I'm personally feeling a little better. I think that, I think that's my problem, right? I think getting on the other side of this election and on the other side of this inauguration and on the other side of whatever we've been going through, good or bad, love it or hate it, it feels good to get on the other side. And, trying not to watch the news, just, getting back into some old habits. I made that choice a while back to really not watch much news and then got kind of caught up in it through this last 6 weeks or whatever. And now I'm trying to get out of it, get out of that rut. The rut. The interesting thing is that, my mom passed away in October. And one of the gifts, I think, for me, as far as being sober and just, being available, is the relationship that I'm having now with my father. My father, retired colonel, just a great guy. My dad's a great guy. He is a very smart guy, engineer, first graduating class of Air Force Academy. Really, achieved a ton of junk. Very proud of my dad. But my dad comes from a different time, just like all of our dads, right? If you are in your 50s like me and you have a relationship with your father or mother or both or, whatever, it can be a bit of a challenge. And, my dad and I've made some guesses of what our issues have been. If at the least just my behavior through my teenage years and my early, my 20s and, just struggling to try to get it together until my 30s and then getting better, getting sober and then the struggles with early sobriety and then drinking and just, my path is always, I don't know what every other person's path looks like, but, mine's been pretty bumpy. And my parents both always stuck in there with us and, which I appreciate. But at some point, in my 40s, my dad and I's relationship became, very, it's a bit of a struggle. He was always like, if they had a party, hey, come on, everybody meet my son. This is my son, number one. But always like commenting on stuff and always, knowing everything, me knowing nothing, that sort of position. It was a challenge. And, we finally got to a point, we had gotten into some fights and my mom was having a meltdown over it. And I remember at one point I was like, I'm not talking to my father anymore. He is definitely set in his ways. And at some point we decided we got in another big fight. And I said, at that moment I'm walking out and I'm like, stop, Tom, go back. And I did, and we had I don't know if we got to the bottom of anything, because I don't know what his hang-up is. I've thought in the past maybe he's just jealous. Not that I'm great, but just, me being younger and him getting older and, how life is today. And I know, I try to wonder, I look at that all the time as I look at my kids, and I go, are you feeling jealous? And I'm not. I'm at a pretty decent spot in my life. I'm still, mobile. I can still do stuff. But maybe as I get older into my 60s and 70s, you know, and maybe jealousy becomes an issue. But he said that wasn't it. Because, you know, I'm like, you know, what is your, it reminded me, the relationship reminded me of kids, of children, you know, two children. And, you know, when one kid is jealous of another kid, they're very mean. And, you know, that's, I felt how my dad was. But that, no, he said that wasn't it. I don't, you know, I, whatever it was, we decided to just bury that shit and just try to, you know, enjoy the last of the time that we have together. And we've done pretty well. And you know, that's when we started, you know, coming over every weekend and cooking for my parents. And that was actually the cooking and all that stuff was a catalyst really to a big, the final big fight. And, you know, I remember him saying, I don't like the way you cook your food. You know, he didn't like anything. He is a fucking bear, man. And, but, you know, buried the hatchet, and we've done pretty good since then. But when it comes to politics, we do not see eye to eye. And I don't know if that I'm not smart enough to have a conversation with him. I know that I'm smart enough to not have one. Because I don't know. I guess I'm just not smart enough to have the conversation, because I go from, you're full of shit and I can't believe that you believe that or think that. That's my position with him. And he's like, you know, I can't believe you believe that. And so we made it through the election. We had some hiccups and some battles, but we worked it out. And, we're pretty good. And he came over last night. I have my dad over three nights a week for dinner, you know, since my mom passed away. And first of all, if I could just say what a gift that is, you know. There could have been the way that I live my life and my behavior and some of the things that I've done in my life due to my drinking and my drugging and my self-centeredness could have driven a permanent wedge between my father and I. I know other people, my buddy, good friend of mine out in Texas, I'll keep him anonymous, but he went through the same shit with his father. His father was military, and the relationship was rough at best. And they got in a fight, and he pushed his dad down, and he got arrested for, roughing up the elderly. But luckily he was able to have a conversation, I guess, with his father. But my buddy's a little more, you know, he digs in a bit. He digs in. He's justified. You know, Tom, you remember how my dad was. Tom, you remember the fighting that I used to have with my dad? And I did. I remembered it. And, yeah, of course, listen, in his eyes and his mind, and as far as I'm concerned, yeah, he's justified. He chose to not have a relationship with his father, maybe just very minimal. And I respect that. You know, there are times where I, you know, kind of wish I had chosen that road, because it is a constant surrendering of ego and pride when it comes to conversing with my dad. And, but you know what? I said, listen, you know, he's not going to be around that much longer. I mean, my dad could probably be around a lot longer. He's really pretty healthy. You know, he's 83, you know, going downstairs is a big challenge, you know, up and downs and, you know, being nimble is a challenge. But, you know, for the most part, he's got his brain. He's all there for sure. He came over last night. And of course, you know, so when you know, all the shit went down with the president, with Trump, I think it made even some of the farther right people go, ooh, that was a little cringy. You know, of course, there are people that thought that was a great idea, you know, storm the Capitol, blah, blah, blah. But there were some people, you know, I read articles of people turning in their family members. Yeah, that was my brother that was there, or that was my dad, or, you know, turning them in, like, really had an issue with it. And my dad was like, I don't want to hear about Trump. You know, he's gone crazy. And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, I had to surrender that ego again and say, yeah, you know, okay. Where I could have been like, what were you thinking like in that guy, right? But time has passed and, you know, the people that love Trump, they're starting to come back out and kind of get, you know, fired up again. And he was over last night and we, you know, we kind of got into it. And, you know, it is an exercise in surrendering. My opinion doesn't matter. It really, 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 really matters to me. It really, really matters that I have a voice. But when it comes to him and the outcome and, you know, the anxiety that it creates for him and me and my wife, it's just not worth it, right? So I put it aside. I'm like, I do everything except say, hey, let's not get into this. And then once this kind of starts, and my dad starts taking little jabs at me, you know, little jabs. And do you have parents? Does anybody have parents like this that just want to mix it up a bit? And, you know, you're trying not to. You want to preserve the relationship. I want my dad, you know, my dad has enough to worry about. I don't want him worrying about our relationship. You know, the last big fight we had, he actually called and he said, listen, I'm sorry. You know, I talked, you know, it's always, you know, I talked to Pete, you know, his roommate from the Air Force Academy. It's always somebody, you know, from the past, right? I called Pete and Pete called me and he straightened me out and I apologize. Like, I can't straighten my dad out. I have no words that are going to make my dad feel any differently. But when he talks to somebody other than me, then he kind of can get an idea of like, oh, maybe I was in the wrong, or maybe the situation is wrong or bad, and yeah, maybe I need to look at it. Because the whole argument that we had was basically that, you know, how could... Actually, I don't even remember what the argument was about. And I don't even want to try to make anything up. I know it had to do with the president, the election. Oh, I remember when I told, when I lied to my dad about who I voted for. And he was going to, you know, throw us out of the family. And I'm like, dude, we are the family. You're by yourself. You know, what family are you kicking us out of? We're having you over. And, but, you know, I have to think it all the way through, just like everything I do in my day. I have to think it all the way through. Early sobriety, pre-sobriety, I didn't think about shit. I did whatever I wanted to do, and I thought about nothing. And, you know, it was a messy life. It was a messy life. And luckily today, you know, I take the time, I try to think the freaking argument through, and realize in the end it isn't worth it. We'll be right back. I think that I was telling my dad this last night. You know, everything we hear, everything I've heard, unless I saw it happen, has been hearsay. I mean, how many things that how many conversations that you have about subjects that you heard about? You know, it's all hearsay. And, what kind of got my dad fired up last night was that I saw this Howard Stern interview with Hillary Clinton. I've never been a big Hillary Clinton fan. I liked Bill Clinton. I thought he was a good president. But, you know, Hillary, I don't know. She's just somehow fallen under this umbrella of just, you know, emails and lies. And, you know, I don't know. But I watched the interview with her and Howard Stern, and it was really a great interview. And I was like, I didn't really know anything about Hillary Clinton, to be honest with you. I only knew what I heard or what I was told through the news and, you know, all this different stuff. And, yeah, maybe that's a good source, but is it the only source? I mean, it was the only source that I had. So when I watched the interview with her, because one of the great things about Howard Stern is he does a nice interview. And so I'm listening to the interview and I'm watching her and I'm just like, you know, realizing this is just, she's a real human, you know. She's in politics and that's a different kind of world, but she's just another human. And, you know, I had a little bit of empathy for her. Regardless, you know, there's two sides. There's a hearsay side and then there's the side that she told. And could that, you know, is that always the truth? Not sure. Politicians, you know, tend to have a story, sort of, so to speak. But I enjoyed the interview, and I enjoyed her candidness, and you know, she talked about some of the, you know, the emails and all the shit, and I was telling my dad, I go, there was another Tulsi Gabbard was on Joe Rogan, and she was talking about the same sort of experience. You know, she announced me wanting to be president, and next thing you know. Headlines, you know, Tulsi Gabbard is this and Tulsi Gabbard is that. And you know, they claim that, like, the Russians, you know, were behind a lot of that. I don't know that. I'm not sure. But when I was telling this to my dad's like, you know, yeah, negative, negative stuff. You know, what are the Russians don't want to take over the United States or, you know, I don't know, whatever you're saying. I go, no, but they what they do is they create infighting. You know, they, whether it's the Russians or whoever is cyber attacking, you know, us, it's about creating discord, you know, fighting, you know, like him and I were doing last night. You know, these companies that are designed to create this stuff, you know, start putting posts, whether it's in a Facebook or Twitter or whatever social media platform they choose to use, and they post things. You know, they create conversation and create rifts. And the next thing you know, we're in a place like we're at, where we're in a country that is severely divided, right? And, yeah. My dad, you know, he was like, he wanted to get into it last night. And it's just like on the edge. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't, you know. I'm like, maybe, you know, why don't we sit down and watch something on TV, and, you know, because usually he comes over and has dinner and probably stays about a half hour after he eats, and then he leaves. He goes home. He's there for the food, not for the social. And, you know, I'm like, well, why don't we sit down? Just as long as they're not going to watch a Hillary interview. You know, like that, there's that dig. I'm like, we're not going to watch a Hillary interview. You know. And, but, you know, even sitting down with him, you know, let's watch this. You know, we were watching Joe Rogan, or this guy's so full of bullshit. It's like negative, negative, negative. I don't know if that's just our outcome. I don't know if that's just how we become. I don't know if I've ever really met a person that's of an older age that is just easygoing and laid back. I'm sure they exist. But for the most part, unfortunately, at that age, we've seen it all and heard it all and done it all. And we become very cynical. And look at everything through that side eye, you know. I don't know. So, you know what? I know one thing I understand and realize is I'm not going to change him. I am not going to change my father. And, you know, I have to remind myself that I need to be grateful that I have him, really. My dad is a cool guy. But him and I could not be any more opposite. I'm a free-thinking, creative, you know, one minute to the next kind of guy. My dad is more regimented, military, you know. He doesn't have any creativity in his body. He's not creating anything. He's not creating art. He's not creating music. He is, you know, he's like, tell me what to do. I'm going to do it, you know. And that's why we're so different, you know. My dad comes from the military, still, you know, retired military, has really no worries, you know, has a pension, health care, everything you need, he has it. So he's never lived that life of his like, as long as I'm, you know, good with the military, I'm good. And he's right. But so he doesn't know what it's like to have pre-existing conditions when it comes to health insurance, like with my back. He doesn't know what that's like to have insurance, pay a ton of money every month for insurance and not be able to use it. He doesn't know what it's like to, you know, to start a business and roll up your sleeves and, you know, go through the struggle and the ups and downs. And, you know, he doesn't know any of that. You know, he's the catalyst last night to the trouble that was brewing was that he feels like the young people today are addicted to their phones. That, now that I think about it, that was the conversation. These young people are addicted to their phones. I was reading an article. And I'm like, yeah. So are old people. I have a hair salon. At any point in my hair salon, everybody will be looking at their phone, old and young. And sometimes I think older people, it can even be worse. You know, I've always said I'm a 15-year-old guy driving a 52-year-old car. I'm still a kid at heart. I'm still, you know, young, and I, you know, I love cool stuff, and I think they do too. But my dad acts like that if he was a kid, I'd have been outside. I'd be outside. When I was that age, I swept the church and cleaned the theater and picked corn and picked blueberries and shook crabs and, you know, we lived down in Ocean City and I'm like, yeah, Dad, you're amazing. Good for you, right? But that's not the way the times are today. And, you know, over time we've created this fear, like we don't want to let our kids out. My dad's like, when I was 9, I was down in Ocean City, you know, cleaning the hotel stairs or sweeping the hotel. I'm like, well, where the fuck was your parents? You know, I'm not sending Sam to Ocean City for the summer at 9. Hell no. That's what I did. Well, it's times have changed, Dad. When I was a kid, we wouldn't have sat and looked at our phone all day. We'd have been outside. I said, bullshit. You would have looked at your phone. You phones are cool. Interesting. Articles, games, music, videos. I mean, what else would you... It's all right there. Don't act like you wouldn't have dug it. I'm like, you look at your... You know, my dad's always had a big fascination with computers. He always had a computer, you know. $10,000 for a, you know, a Intel 1. I don't remember what it was, but he had, you know, he spent big amounts of money on today pretty barbaric computers. Always messing with them, you know, playing games, always into, you know, his Minecraft. I'm like, you know, don't act like that if you weren't a 9-year-old these days, you would be like, I am not looking at that phone. It's just how it is today. And it's clear. I mean, people every age love looking at electronic devices. They're into it. I guess, you know, the point of this whole thing is just, you know, what I need to take away from this, if I'm going to make a little list of a gratitude list for this situation, I would say for number one is that I have my dad in my life. Number two is that my dad wants me and my family in his life. You know, it could be different. You know, I know people that don't have really much interest in their parents. you know. I mean, if it wasn't for, like, honestly, I think if it really wasn't for sobriety, I'm not sure I would have the same relationship. I'm not sure I would reach out as much. Because I know people that avoid their parents like the plague. And there are times, like last night, where I would like to avoid my dad like the plague, but I know that he needs, at his age, because I can tell you, at my age, a fear that I have is like growing up with nobody in my life. You know, being such an asshole, being such a shithead to my family and stuff, that they don't want anything to do with me. And that would be awful. And luckily, I don't live like that. I have an amazing family, and they all love me, thank God. But, you know, it's now my turn to make the effort to keep the relationship with my dad great. Because, you know, in the end, I want my dad to feel comfortable and at some sort of peace. And, I'm grateful that I got sober and that I have this program to realize, listen, you have a choice, Tom. You can either make an effort and keep this relationship going. And when I say effort, I mean like surrendering, keeping my restraint from pen and tongue, you know, keep my opinions to myself. Try to see his side of it. I don't know. that's a bit challenging. All right, let's read Daily Reflections, jam a little music out, and I got to go to work. January 26th, rigorous honesty. I love this. Who wishes to be rigorously honest and tolerant? Who wants to confess his faults to another and make restitution for harm done? Who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer? Who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry AA's message to the next sufferer? No. The average alcoholic, self-centered in the extreme, doesn't care for this prospect unless he has to do these things in order to stay alive himself. Oh, that is so good. I mean, that's it, right? Who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer? Who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry the AA message? That was what I was saying in that other podcast. Meetings should suck. You should have something better to do. You should be pulled away from this amazing experience, whether it's family or something fun to do, and go spend an hour at a meeting. It should suck. It should. You know what I mean. I am an alcoholic. If I drink, I will die. My, what power. Energy and emotion this simple statement generates in me. But it's really all I need to know for today. Am I willing to stay alive today? Am I willing to stay sober today? Am I willing to ask for help? And am I willing to be a help to another suffering alcoholic today? Have I discovered the fatal nature of my situation? What must I do today to stay sober? What must I do today to stay sober? Yeah, that's all that I just read is all the shit I'm going through with my dad. Surrendering, you know, is this worth it? You know, it's just like the relationships with my dad is just like the relationship with alcohol. Do I even want to flirt with this conversation? Is it worth it? What's the outcome? Have we gone down this path before? How does it turn out? You know, today I don't want to drink, but I also don't want to like be miserable because I can't seem to pull my head out of my own ass to have a relationship with my father. You know? Sobriety is one thing, serenity is absolutely another.